We want everybody to have this and do this. How many of you have done any of this so far? A few of you? Okay. Here's what's going to happen, or part of what will happen as we go through and we pray through this. You're going to find that you will have attacks in your life. That there's going to be some things that happen. You're going to say, well, why am I having problems with it? Because you are no longer a non-combatant. You are no longer somebody who Satan has managed to sideline. Satan is perfectly happy to have you sitting on the sidelines, not doing God's work. But as soon as you enter into the fray, you become a participant. Just like in a football game, you're going to get hit. But you don't get hurt if you have on the full armor of God. So you need to remember to pray on the full armor of God every day. Now, this is one of the reasons why we passed out these last week. How many of you have one of these bookmarkers? If you don't have a bookmarker, there are bookmarkers on the back table. This is a resource for you for praying. Okay? You are now entered in the fray. You need to put on the full armor of God. On here it has on a prayer for praying on the full armor of God. It also gives you directions for just praying in the manner that the Lord teaches us to pray, referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you, take one of these. One other prayer resource is back there is the Daily Bread. Okay, March starts a new month. March starts on Thursday. Take a Daily Bread if you don't have one. It is another devotional that you can read. You might say, oh, I got to do this book and the Daily Bread. Well, the Daily Bread lasts for 3 months. This is only going to last for a few weeks. Okay? But trust me, you can do both. Okay? But I just wanted to tell you, if you have problems because you're praying, it's not because you're doing it wrong necessarily. It's because you've entered into the battle. Now, just like in a football game, a football player, you need to put on the armor. Then you need to stay alert. If you're not paying attention, and somebody else hits you, you're going to get knocked for a loop. Not to say you can't get hurt in the battle. And that, Mary was sharing something that on Facebook and a few other places with people that just hit her powerfully this week. She had read, somebody had shared, that God isn't so much concerned about our comfort as He is about, what is it, working our character? He's not concerned about our comfort, but our character. Kind of like a sports coach, you know, workout practice, or a drill sergeant. They're not concerned about the comfort. They're more concerned about the character that they're building, the strength that they're building. And God truly isn't. God did not call you to comfort. Please understand this. God did not call a single one of us to comfort. Yes, there is rest and comfort in His arms. But that's not what He called us to. He called us to the battle. And when we pray, we are indeed entering into the battle. So be ready for a certain level of discomfort, but be prepared for it. Don't enter the battle without your weapon, the Word of God, without your armor, the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and also on the back here. Okay, that's enough for that for right now. Kids, you're dismissed for Children's Church with Donna. And why did I keep the kids in here for that? Because they need to hear that too, because they're praying. I shared a picture on Facebook the other day. Anybody here see that picture? None of you all saw that picture? The one of the kid praying for the other kid. How many saw that picture? Okay. What it was about, I think one kid was what? Would you say 5, 6? Praying for another one that looked like maybe 7? Guessing? About. I think the one kid was standing up on a box in order to get high enough to put his hand. One kid's just standing there waiting, praying like this, and the other kid's standing up in the box, got his hand on him, and he's just praying. That picture, this is the attitude that God wants us to come before Him when it says to be His children. Not childish, but children before the Lord, where we love the Lord with all that we have, unashamedly, unabashedly. completely, fully. And we just do it. How many times have you seen a kid just come out and say, "Hey, this is what I think." And you go, "We don't talk about that in front of company." Or little kid stands on the steps and says, "Daddy, catch me." Doom. I had a couple of those. I did a couple of those. That's the way we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be praying. Now this week, as we continue on in praying, because we've just started Seek God for the City, this week's focus is on reviving the church. And this is indeed where we do need to start. And don't think of the church as this building. This building is not the church. Look in the mirror and you will see the face of the church. Look at the person sitting next to you, you will see the face of the church. The church is made up of the body of Christ. It's made up of the people who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the church. Now, so if we're going to revive the church, who needs revival? The man or woman in the mirror. The man or woman sitting next to you. Man up in the pulpit needs revival. I probably, more than anybody else, need revival. Why? Because I'm in the position of leadership here within this congregation. And if I'm not revived, it's tough for you, the body, to be revived. Okay? Not saying it can't happen, but it's tougher. To that end, I need you all praying for me. And by that, I mean the southern plural of all you all. I need you to pray for me daily. And I need to be praying for you. But I need your prayers. Now, one of the things that I learned at the College of Prayer, and which wasn't a new lesson because I've read it before and I've heard it before, is what's referred to as a prayer shield. C. Peter Wagner wrote a book a number of years ago called Prayer Shield, but that has been around, the prayer shield has been around for thousands of years. As Moses had a prayer shield, he had those who were praying for him, and so forth. What a prayer shield is those who covenant, make a promise to pray for me. And I'm looking for those people. And I want, if you are somebody who feels that you have a special calling to pray for me, I want you to let me know. You can send me an email, speak to me privately, whatever, give me a phone call. But I want to know who you are so I know who my prayer shield is. And then I will also, with those who really have a true calling for prayer, and me as their primary prayer focus, I will share my prayer needs in a special way. You know, there's some stuff that I just will not put out for just general prayer. Donna won't believe that there's actually anything I won't talk about, but yeah, there are. But I need people praying for me. So that's where we start. We start with ourselves. But let's look at a call to revival in Psalm chapter 85. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. If not, it'll be up on the screen. But again, I encourage you, bring your own Bible. You can underline, you can mark it, you can highlight. You know, if you put little post-it notes in there, whatever works for you. Psalm 85, we're going to read the whole of Psalm 85. It says verse 1. It says, "You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned away from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say, His promises, peace to His people, His saints. But let them not return to folly. Surely His salvation is near those who fear Him. That His glory may dwell in our land, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before Him and prepares the way for His steps. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, as we come before You this morning, and we seek Your leading, Your guidance, to follow Your direction, Lord, help us to listen to You this morning. Father, I ask that You would anoint me to preach Your Word. Lord, might I indeed preach Your truth with power, and might nothing else fall from my lips. Encourage Your people here this day, and Lord, lift up Your banner, that Your name might be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is the prayer. As we look at this, we see the first couple of verses. It's reminding us that God has brought some restoration in the past, that You restored the fortunes of Jacob, forgave the iniquities of Your people. Okay, so we have a history. God has a history of being a merciful God. But apparently, the people have fallen away yet once again, because they have now earned the wrath of God. Let me just be clear on this. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to earn. Yet, they have here in the Scripture. Now, when we look today at our land, could you say maybe we've earned a little bit of the wrath of God for our land today, as we look at our country? Well, yeah, you could certainly make that argument. I would make that argument. We don't deserve God's blessing because we've been so good at following Him and His Word. So as we look at this, what we often forget to do is we stand up and we say, Lord, bless our land. Heal our nation. And that's not the way it works. As we look at this psalm, what we see is, Lord, restore us. And what we'll see later is after He restores His people, His saints, and His saints are... Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have, you are His saints. Okay? It's us, people. Restore us. As He restores us, He will then bless our nation. The blessing flows out of us, from Him. We are the conduit through which that blessing needs to flow. God just doesn't go zap to the land and bless the land. No, regardless of how we, His people, are behaving. We want to bless our nation. God, we want You to come up out here. We got to start at home. We have to say, revive us, O Lord. Because this is what God tells us to do. This is what the psalmist is writing here through the leading and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Restore us again, O God, our Savior. So this has happened more than once. Let me ask you this. Did you ever get in trouble with your parents more than once? Me too. Ever have your kids get in trouble with you more than once? Redundant question, I know. Okay. Guess what? If we aren't careful with following God, what we find out is that we fall away from God. Oh, look, shiny. Those of us who have a little ADD know all about this. But the fact of the matter is, we need to be restored to God's blessing. How do we do that? The first thing that we have to do is understand that we are not following God, where we have departed from His path. We can't go, I'm following God. We put our blinders over our own eyes to the iniquities of our own lives. That's another nice big word for sin. Bad things. Okay? We need to recognize, oh, this isn't so good. Step one. Step two. This isn't so good. Turn from thing that's not so good and turn to that which is good, God. That's called repentance. We need to turn from those things which lead us away from God and turn to God. And that's where we need to focus our attention. And it's real easy to allow things in our lives to pull us away. Anybody here ever have a problem where you stand around and you go, oh, woe is me, and you get all focused on your problem. I got an ingrown toenail and it hurts. Yeah, it hurts. And if you focus on it, the more you look at it, the more you play with it, the more it's probably going to hurt. Or you can deal with the treatment. You can get stuff that's going to fix it. You can get some Epsom salt, put it in there, soak the foot, maybe go see the doctor. If there's something in there, pull it out. You know, deal with it. But that requires you to look up and not look at the toe. Because in order to fix the toe, I got to look away from the toe. That sounds weird. In order to look at, to fix the problem, I got to get away from the problem. I got to get to the solution. You don't find the solution to the problem in the problem. That's not where the solution is. The solution is in Jesus. It's the Sunday school kid says, well, I don't know the answer. I don't know what the question is, but I know the answer is Jesus. Restore us again, O God. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Revive us again so we can rejoice in Him. Because if we're not following Him, God is not indifferent to our not following Him. When we don't follow Him, He does this thing called correction and discipline that He brings into our lives as encouragements to stop doing the things that He does not wish for us to do. To get us to change our direction. You maybe have used this methodology raising your children, or maybe it was used upon you as you were being raised as a child. Discipline is necessary to teach a child the direction that they shouldn't go and to turn them onto the path that they should go. Anybody here a child of God? We need discipline. God brings us discipline aplenty when we don't follow Him. And when that discipline's in our lives, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, okay, what is God trying to show me? Now, sometimes, what's happening in our lives is not that we're doing something wrong, it's that we're actually doing something right, and it's the enemy bringing attack to us. We don't want to confuse these two. Okay, how do I know which is which? Glad you asked. Prayer. Are you listening to God? Are you talking to God? If God's bringing conviction to your heart, then what you're doing is probably wrong. If God's telling you, I love you, and I approve what you're doing, but you're still having problems, then it's probably Satan bringing attack. But how do I know that it's God speaking to me? Well, if you speak to Him regularly, you'll recognize His voice. Get into His Word. Spend time in prayer. Remember, prayer is a conversation. Conversation requires you not just to talk, but also to listen. We are not conversing if I am just the only one talking. This is called a lecture. Okay, unless you respond back. Then we're having a conversation. Amen? Conversation is communicating back and forth. We need to listen to God. Now, He wants us to pray. So we got to follow God faithfully. And this psalm is all about prayer, and we need to do this to prayer. We need to listen to what God, the Lord, will say. Okay, it says here, I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. Verse 8, I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. If you're not praying, you're not listening. We need to repent, we need to turn and follow God, and when we're doing that, out of that, then comes the dwelling of God's glory, first amongst His people and then amongst His land. We are the conduit through which the blessing of our nation will come. You want to fix our nation? Pray God to fix you. Because you can't do it in and of your own strength. I can't do it in and of my own strength. Not a one of us can. But God provides for us the same strength that raised Jesus from the dead. The miraculous strength and power of the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us. And God, in His strength and power, can get us through these things. Can change our direction. Can change our focus. Can bring us to overcome the temptations of the world. We can't. He can. Okay, and it's after we're praying and reviving, then God's going to revive our land as He's going to revive us. This is going to require righteous prayer, which prepares the way. We must repent of our personal and corporate failings in following God. It's not also about saying, well, it just means I got no interest in the rest of you whatsoever. As long as just me and God are good, we're buds, we're cool. We'd be mates. You know, a little Crocodile Dundee theology there. But that's not the way it works. We're His people. That means we're all His children. That means we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a familial obligation. If my sisters or even my stepbrothers or sisters were to call and ask something of me, you know what the likelihood is that I'm going to say no? Unless I am unable, unless it is outside of the realm of that which I am able to do, the answer will be yes. They know this. It's not a question. If they were ever to ask me, they know I will do it. Doesn't matter what it is they're going to ask me. If I can, I will. Why? If they truly need it, I'm their brother. I will do what I can. That is my responsibility to them. I need to care for my brother, for my sister. The familial bonds within the church are as strong, if not stronger, than those which are just by genetics or blood or marriage. We have the same Holy Spirit living within each of us. This is the strongest bond one can have. It's the same God. Right there. And we won't help or do what we can. We need to care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I answer the phone at 2, 3 in the morning. Because I enjoy getting woken up. I could shut off my phone. I don't. Why? Because sometimes somebody needs to talk to me. Now, sometimes I need to tell them, no, I will talk to you in the morning. Just because, you know, poor scheduling on your part does not mean emergency on my part. Okay, sometimes it's just the most loving thing is to hold people accountable. But if they truly need me, I'm not going to turn away. So we need to pray and care for each other. That means we need to take responsibility for one another and our corporate failings. If our church is failing, I'm failing. If we are failing as a body, you are failing. It's not an individual score here. If the church is failing as a whole in this nation, people, we are failing here in this church. We need to take responsibility for it. We need to go before God and say, God, I am sorry. Lord, I repent of different denominations that have turned away from your word and have said that which you have said is not holy is. And Lord, I repent of that. Now, I myself have never said that. But I need to take responsibility for that as part of the church. We need to pray against that within the church. We need to do that individually first, then corporately as a body. Then God is going to bring revival to His saints, to His people, His church, us. And then His blessing will flow through us to the land. He will restore His blessing to His people, to their land. Now, to do this, we need to take a little time this morning to do something that is a little outside of the box for most of you. Maybe some of you have done this and are comfortable with it. Some of you, it's going to be very uncomfortable for you. But we're going to take some time this morning to pray. Here as a body. First, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to just take a minute, a full 60 seconds, to pray and ask God silently at this point in time to reveal to you what aspects of your life do you need to repent and turn from. Then we're going to pair up within the congregation here. I'm going to ask you to get with one other person. And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray corporately for each other, that the Lord will bless each other. You will pray for the other person. They're not going to tell you what it was that they need for. True intercessors really don't need to be told what they need prayer for. If you are listening to God, the Holy Spirit will tell you what this person needs prayer for. And if you're not sure, just pray, Lord, open their eyes to see what it is and strengthen them that they might turn from those things in their lives and turn to you. And then one more thing that we're going to do after that is that'll be just a couple minutes. We'll just give you 1 minute per person. So that'll be 2 minutes in length. Then we're going to take just a couple minutes, and we're going to stand corporately and pray together as a body. So we're going to take about 5-6 minutes here this morning as we close to pray. Okay, so right now, I would just ask you to bow your head and seek the Lord on an individual basis. Ask Him right now, Lord, reveal to me what it is I need to lay before Your throne, before the foot of the cross this morning. Now I'm going to ask that you pair up. You can get a group of three if you have to, but I don't want any one person to be alone. But I do want pairs, if at all possible. And there, you're going to pray aloud for each other. Now this time you're going to pray aloud. Why are you praying aloud? A couple reasons. First off, this is something that I share with all the couples I do premarital counseling with, is that it's a blessing to hear somebody pray for you. There is such a blessing in that, being with somebody and having them pray for you. Now remember, let's everybody get together in prayers, and if you're by yourself, don't just get with somebody else. If you have to get with a group of two others, so there's just three, that's okay. Secondly, we want to be praying aloud because the enemy can't hear your thoughts. Okay? God can. But the enemy can't. So why do we want Satan to hear our prayers? Because when we are praising God and we are using God's name, and we are making a non-Satan friendly environment. And he is repelled by us speaking the name of Jesus in power. And he doesn't want to be here. And we don't want him here. Now, you can pray for him to be evicted and cast and all that too. But just praying aloud is something which pushes Satan farther away. It just makes it a hostile environment for him. And we want this area to be very hostile for Satan. Okay? One other reason to pray aloud is it allows us to agree with one another in prayer. And in God's Word, it says where two or three are gathered and they agree in prayer, God hears and He answers that prayer. Okay? Now, how in the world can I agree with your prayer if I don't hear it? So these are just three reasons. There are more, but just three quick reasons and very powerful reasons, I believe, to pray aloud. So if this is something which is very uncomfortable for you, I ask your indulgence to try this. I'll give you just a couple minutes now to pray corporately with each other. And please pray that the Lord would bless the person that you're praying for and would give them strength in overcoming these things that they need to turn from, that the Lord has revealed to them. We're not asking God to reveal to you what the other person needs to deal with. We're asking you to be the conduit of God's blessing. You're going to pray God's blessing for that person, that God would help them to overcome these things which the Lord has just revealed to them. Okay? Go ahead, pray. finish up your prayer. Amen. Now we're going to take a moment to pray corporately. And what I'm going to ask is that we all stand as we pray during this time corporately. And I'm going to ask you to call out something that we need as a church, whether it be this church in particular or the church as a whole, that we need to repent from. And just call it out. And I don't want you to be going on for 10 seconds. So I want like pride, pornography, lies, deceit, that type of call out. I don't want somebody to stand up and go on and on about a particular subject. We're just going to, as the Lord puts the burden on your heart, whether or not you are the one who is dealing with that issue, God has put that topic on your heart. I want you to share it aloud. And we're just going to share this aloud for a moment, and then I'm going to close this. I'm going to open this, and then you'll have up to, when I'm silent, go ahead and share out these things, and then I will close this. Father God, we come before you now, and we just seek, Lord, that you would show us what it is that we as a church need to repent from so that you can revive us. Lord, we want to be revived as a church. So now, Lord, reveal to us corporately as the body what it is you would have us to be praying against and what you would have us to be seeking to turn our faces from and turn to you for. Lord, reveal these things to us now. Lord, we thank you for these things which you've revealed to us. And Lord, there's more. Lord, we ask that you would help us start with these. And we turn from these things, Lord. We confess them, each and every one, to you right now. And we turn to you, Lord, and we say, Father, show us the way. Open our ears, that we might follow you closely, that you might indeed revive your church. Lord, we want to be your people. We want to be blessed by you in your presence. We want you to dwell in us, Lord, and be manifestly present here. Not just omnipresent, but manifestly present, where your presence is tangible. Lord, we invite you here into our church, this body, this congregation, which is your church. We give you the headship and the lordship. And Father, we turn to you and we say, we will follow you. Because you are our God, our Savior. We thank you. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.